Hello and welcome back to the Claret & Blue podcast. My name is John Townley. I am out here in Amsterdam, still waiting on my flight back to Birmingham. So I thought I'd quickly hop on and do a little post-match / Tottenham preview. Ajax, you know, credit to them, the formation that their manager deployed. I think he used it against Utrecht, the kind of five at the back, three centre-halves. That shape, it really did work for them. They have some very good players. The centre-half, Kaplan, I really like. I think he's a very good player. I think he's the lad that Zaniolo got. He did, according to the referee, foul Kaplan, and he got booked. That's, you know, probably what you'll remember Kaplan by or for. But that kind of proves my point, because he's a very good defender. You don't notice top defenders. But to be fair, then he also did make a top tackle towards the end of the game to stop Leon Bailey, probably giving Villa the lead. And Hatto as well, who spoke to the media after the game and gave some praise to Villa as well. He just turned 19, I think, or 18 even. So, yeah, he's got a massive future ahead of him as well, left-sided centre-back. So, yeah, some top talent will always be coming through Ajax's team, but they have struggled this season. So, a little disappointed that Villa couldn't go there and take control of the tie, but considering the changes that Emery made, five in total, Tim Aruba to making only a second start for the club, his first under Emery. He's still very young. Morgan Rogers making his first start, so his full debut for Villa. First European appearance as well. And we know how much different games are in Europe as Villa fans, not because we've been in Europe for very long, but just this season, we've been so good in the league, but we know how difficult it can be in Europe as well, because we went to Legia and we lost. We beat Zrinjski in the final minute. We went to AZ and won comfortably, fair enough. But then we just about beat AZ at home, just about beat Legia at home as well. So it is difficult. So it will be tough to, you know, go all the way and win the Conference League. You know, we can certainly do it, but we're going to have to respect every opponent. Considering the changes Emery made and the hostile environment, I don't think, you know, going to Ajax and, I was going to say, getting a point, points don't matter at this stage, you know, and coming out without, I suppose, leaving with a disadvantage is what I'm trying to say. As long as Ajax don't come out of the game or come to Villa Park with an advantage, I think you'd probably take that. I did expect Villa to go there and score a couple of goals, in all honesty, but as I say, I think it's, you know, credit to Ajax and the manager that they respected Villa, because this is something that AZ didn't do as much. They didn't really change exactly how they would play. From the Eredivisie to playing Aston Villa, that's a huge gamble and a risk that they shouldn't have taken. And then they lost 4-1. Ajax was, you know, they're completely different. They respected Villa and they come out with the tie still intact. They probably had to beat us, but they had two brilliant chances. You know, Emi Martinez preserved the clean sheet, especially the one save that he made from Kenneth Taylor. But yeah, all in all, not a bad result. I don't think it's a particularly brilliant performance from Villa. But listen, Emery has been there and done it, 16, 17 years in Europe? I think it's 16. Consecutive years in Europe now. He knows what he's doing. And he doesn't make five changes just because Tottenham's on Sunday. We have an international break coming up as well, don't forget. He's doing everything for a reason. And I'm not going to second guess what he's going to be doing for the rest of the campaign and balancing both competitions. But he's not going to be taking any game for granted. If that makes sense. He doesn't make five changes because Ajax aren't a particularly decent side anymore. It's all going to have some sort of bearing on something. I suppose that leads us on to team news in a roundabout way. I'll just quickly talk about Pau Torres, because where I said there, you know, everything is done for a reason. Torres played only 45, thankfully, for a reason. And Emery said after full time, well, he was asked, sorry, about Torres, why only 45 for him? Why did he come off half time? And he started off by saying he has an injury, and I thought, oh dear, what's he going to say next? And then he said 2 weeks ago, so he had an injury 2 weeks ago, and I thought, oh, thank God. And then his next line was something along the lines of, so we did a plan with him, and I gave a little small fist bump, because it's so important that Torres stays fit now for the rest of the season. And I know that's still a long way to go, but he just needs to get over these little niggly ones that he's getting at the moment, because he wasn't getting them before, and he rarely had them in his career before joining Villa. So if he can just get through the next, you know, couple of weeks into the international break. I don't know if he's going to be going away with Spain. I presume he is. He should be, because he's so good. But if he can get through that period, and then we can kind of attack the rest of the season with him, you know, fully fit, niggly injuries are gone. So it was so important that we looked after him and, you know, were very cautious with him before this Tottenham game. I was surprised to see him play at all, if I'm being honest, at Ajax, especially the first 45. If, you know, I know that was the plan, but I would have thought maybe he comes on with 20 minutes to go rather than the first 45 minutes. It just seemed a bit strange to for that specifically, when it's going to be most hostile. Ajax will be most energetic. Their attackers will be most energised to try and leave some ink in on tackles, etc. Torres is fine. He will play. Hopefully he will start against Tottenham. Of course, Villa will train on Saturday morning, so this is all dependent on if anyone, you know, doesn't pick up injuries in that training session. But at the moment, at the time I'm speaking, Torres and McGinn are both fit. McGinn did have a small pain at the end of Wednesday morning's training session, but he, you know, flew with the squad, wasn't named in the starting 11, was on the bench, then came on. I'd expect McGinn and Torres both to start the game. And the other key bit of injury news, of course, is Jacob Ramsey. Emery has been a bit tight-lipped about the situation, but he was actually asked directly about Jacob. And he just said that we're going to train tomorrow, so on Saturday, and we will then see. We will then see about Jacob. He didn't mention that Jacob was going to train. I presume he is, because surely you would just declare that he was out, if that is the case. I don't know. But maybe I'm speculating there, but it would just be odd for Emery to either not rule him out or to say that he's not going to be training. I don't know. But then, you know, as a counterpoint, I'd have thought Emery would just say, yeah, so he will train tomorrow and we'll see how he is. But he didn't. He said, we will see about, you know, the situation. The quotes are on Birmingham Live. It probably explains it better than I am doing now. But I think you'll understand what I mean when you read those. So hopefully he'll be in the squad. You know, I wouldn't expect him to start the game because, you know, he had the injury in the first half at Kenilworth Road and didn't even make the squad to face Ajax. If he was fit, then I would be inclined to play him because he's been exceptional in the last few weeks for me. You know, he gives you something that we don't have. I think Rodgers can have it, if that makes sense, but he's got a lot of learning to do. But if you take Ramsey out of the team, I do think we are lacking quite a lot there. And I really like Morgan Rodgers, by the way, but I just think he's still quite raw. And this Tottenham game is going to be very difficult. And we're going to need everybody to be switched on tactically, as well as, you know, defensively and offensively in both capacities. It's going to be a very difficult match. But Villa can definitely win it if they are switched on and positionally there. You know, spot on. I think Tottenham play better against teams who want to, you know, push on to them, and they afford space at the back, you know, stuff like that, and against teams who aren't particularly well organised. So if we're looking, you know, limit space for Tottenham, they don't have to control the ball either, because this isn't going to be a game where they're going to have 70% of the ball, or even 60%, even 55%. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be almost like a basketball game, I think. Villa need to limit that. They need to try and have, you know, control, but that doesn't mean keeping the ball. It just needs to be managing the game. Can they score the first goal and then play on the counter-attack, for example? And I think that Ramsey can help that, because he can drive with the ball. He can protect it. He can shield it. He can win fouls, all that sort of stuff. And defensively, he's, you know, used to play as a centre midfielder under Dean Smith. So, yeah, there's a lot of quality that, lots of qualities that he can bring to this game for me that would be very useful. But again, he might not even be in the squad. We don't know yet. But yeah, if Morgan Rodgers does play, then, you know, it's another fantastic opportunity for him. I mean, to go from playing, you know, no disrespect to Middlesbrough, by the way, to going from playing in a, I suppose, a mid-table championship side to playing at Johan Cruyff Arena, to then playing in a, you know, it's not going to be a top four decider, but it's close to a Champions League decider, maybe. By the way, what a super Sunday that is for a neutral. Villa, Tottenham, and then City, Liverpool. It's quite something to that. But I've gone off track there, haven't I? So I'll just quickly run through little bits of what Emery said in his press conference. It wasn't a particularly long press conference, but there was one snippet that I did like. He was asked about Ollie Watkins. Again, you know, he's asked about Watkins almost all the time in the press conference yesterday. It's two or three questions about Watkins from Dutch journalists in the post-match and pre-match show. One of them, they started off by saying, us Dutch are scared by Ollie Watkins. It made me chuckle. Emery said that he's not surprised by Watkins' consistency this season. He says that he deserves his progress because he is the hardest worker every day. His commitment is very high with the club, with the supporters, with our work and our demands. I hope he will be able to progress more. That's about Watkins. I think he's said something similar, you know, a few times now about Ollie, because this has been asked about him so much. And there's only so much you can say about one player. But it's true, he's He's a sensational talent, Ollie Watkins. And yeah, you would hope that he's going to get enough chances to score a couple of goals against Tottenham, because they are so open at the back. And I was looking at a couple of their stats, actually. So Tottenham have only won one of their past six away league games. They are on a club record run of scoring in 38 matches, consecutively stretching back to Wolves on the 4th of March last year. However, they've only kept one clean sheet in their past 17 league matches. Is this going to be a game that ends 1-0 Villa? Unlikely. Villa are going to have to score a few times, I think, to win the match. But, you know, that's going to have to be the same for Tottenham. So it's almost going to be like which defence comes out on top. And I think Villa can be that team. I'd have thought Conte is going to be playing at right back. Torres should be playing as the left-sided centre-back. I'd be surprised to see Carlos come in to play at right centre-half, just because he's only come back from injury. Luka Dean or Alex Moreno, it's kind of a flip of a coin. I know Luka Dean's, you know, was excellent before he picked up his injury. But then Moreno came in and I thought he was doing well. Played 74 minutes, didn't he, Luka Dean, in his kind of comeback, I suppose, his first start since that Boxing Day injury. So I would have thought that Moreno plays at left-back and continues there. John McGinn, I don't doubt, will start next to Douglas Luiz. Leon Bailey off the right. Tielemans supporting Watkins in attack. And I would have thought that Rodgers keeps his place on the left. But whatever team Villa put out, as long as they're, you know, well organised defensively and they can prevent Tottenham from having all the attacks that they probably will or will want to create, shall I say, then that actually goes quite a long way, you know, for Villa to win the match. Genuinely, I know that sounds very simple when it's certainly not going to be, but Villa will have chances and they'll score goals. I'm not going to jinx this, touch wood, but this Tottenham side will give you opportunities, and Villa more often than not take them, you know, without even being given six or seven. You know, how many Villa teams have we seen in the past that will miss two or three big chances in a game and then will, you know, lose 1-0, 2-0. This Villa side are given three chances and sometimes they take all three. So yeah, if they can create chances, use the space, it will be left behind the back line from Tottenham when they push and they press aggressively. I'd like to think that Pau Torres, you know, with a couple of passes can get Villa out of trouble. Douglas Luiz will have a massive importance in the game. John McGinn will have to try and help shut down James Maddison. That might limit his effect in the game, but then you're asking players like Leon Bailey and Tielemans to then get involved in central positions to then link with Watkins. There's just plenty that's going to happen on the pitch. That sounds silly. But yeah, it's going to be a game full of energy, full of fight as well. There's a lot on the line in this game for Villa and Tottenham. I really don't think at this stage you can say that either team ever in a better position than the other. I know that sounds a bit mad because Villa are, what, 5 points plus goal difference ahead of Tottenham. But Tottenham have a game in hand. And I've said it before, and people will probably be sick of me saying it, but Villa go to City, they go to Arsenal, play Liverpool at home. We have some tough games left. I do think that. So if we can beat Tottenham, go 8 points clear of them, then Tottenham have that game in hand against Chelsea. And by then, they might have to win it, which brings on a load of pressure. We'll be in a fantastic position if we can win the game. But even if we do, there's a long way to go, and we just have to take it as it comes. We have to take every game individually now and say, you know, right, let's try and beat Tottenham. If we do, okay, fantastic. Let's celebrate for the night. I mean, I'm not telling fans how to celebrate, but Emery will celebrate it for the night. And then it's on to West Ham. And then it's, you know, can we get another 3 points there? Because as I said before, if we beat Tottenham, but then we draw to West Ham, but then Tottenham have a chance to claw some room back then. And then the week or so, and then after the international break, that can, you know, change again. So it's a completely fluid situation. Whatever the result, you know, there's a long way to go left in the season. But Villa will, you know, put out a real big statement if they can secure 3 points against Spurs. I'm not too sure if there'll be a post-match. I presume there's going to be a post-match for the match on Sunday with Dan and a guest. Apologies for the kind of random posts and in random locations, i.e. Amsterdam Schiphol Airport. If you did enjoy, please subscribe, leave a like rating, and we'll see you next time. Up the Villa.